Brother John Gadelis will speak to us now, and his subject is Changing Times and Attitudes. Changing Times and Attitudes, Brother John.
Thank you, Brother Tom. And thank you, Brother Dennis. In some aspects, Brother Dennis covered spots of my discourse. For the text that I would like to start with for Changing Times and Attitudes, we have the text in Matthew, the 24th chapter, which everyone is very familiar with, in which the disciples were asking our Lord as to what the signs of his presence would be. And when Jesus came out from the temple, he was going away when his disciples came up to him and point out the temple buildings to him. And he answered unto them and said, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your presence and at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. And then they will deliver unto you tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on my account of my name. And at that time many will fall away, and will deliver up one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise, and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for witness of all nations, and then the end shall come." As for starting this text, since this ends up being the beginning of a new year, we end up having a lot of momentous changes occurred in the last 5 years. Actually, since the late 1800s, a lot of things have happened. One, we ended up going through a world war, the first one, which was unheard of. And from that change, we ended up seeing that many of the kingdoms, most of the kings have disappeared. The exceptions that we have are from England and in Sweden. We also saw that communism came in, which our pastor wrote about, in Russia in 1917. We also saw its demise. As to whether it ended up leaving permanently or temporarily, right now it doesn't really matter to our discussion, but we've seen this progression of things that are going on. We've also seen that Israel has been established as a nation, which a pastor was writing about. Some of the things that are going on inside the world is for the signs of our Lord's presence and what the end of the age would be. Some of the warnings that he gave unto us, one was that no one misleads you, for many shall come in my name. And we are seeing in the world, we have the David Koresh's, we have the various other groups that are at the various cults, and many people are being led astray by that. We end up also hearing of rumors of wars and of wars. Classic example that we end up having is what's happening in former Yugoslavia. We have three factions, the Bosnians, the Serbs, the Croats. Correction. In Bosnia, we have the Serbs, the Croats, and the Muslims, all three factions fighting. Oh, they were fighting probably for a long time before communism took over, so they had a 40-year hiatus, and then they started all over again. It doesn't make any sense. We end up having, as a nation, we fought a war in Kuwait. There they had oil. We ended up going for that, helping them. Bosnia does not. Russia right now in a far-out place ends up having its problems with Chechnya. I guess Chechnya has oil. We ended up having conflicts in Central Africa with Rwanda, where there was a genocide that started with one tribe because one minister or king or president got killed, and a tribe started going through killing the other tribe, and the other tribe came up and started driving away the refugees. The refugees or the tribe that started the killing now is under UN relief, and the UN is feeding the group that started the initial process of genocide. It's a strange world that we're living in. Some of the other signs that were there were also that there would be famines and earthquakes. We can look at our country as California. I guess that poor state ended up having, first they had a drought, they had an earthquake causing over $1 billion damage a year ago on Tuesday, or 2 years ago. They had a fire last year, I believe. It was burning everything, and now they have lots of rains and floods, and there's so much damage going there. It's just one after another that is going on. We had in Somalia that the world finally got together, thought about as to what was going on. They wanted to help people. They start bringing in food, but the local warlords don't want to have their rivals being fed. So you have food on the dock, and you have people killing each other just because they don't want to distribute the food. In Florida, we ended up having hurricanes. In the Midwest, we had floods. Throughout the world, we end up hearing of various ecological disasters that are going on everywhere. Some of the problems that were with the war with Kuwait ended up being that it was the Iraqis were pulling back. They started burning the oil fields, causing major problems. They end up also having, in Russia, trying to get hard currency. They're pumping oil from Siberia across central Russia. They have a leak inside there, pumping out millions of gallons into fields and making oil lakes that are burning, causing all sorts of problems. The problems which, the spill that we had in Alaska with the Exxon Valdez is minor compared to what is going on. All of these things that are happening remind me of a text that we have in Joel in the second chapter, 2 through 3 verses. This text, even though it's talking about the Lord's great army, I think is, in a way, is very interesting because it starts with as a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn is spread over the mountain, so there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like it, nor will there be ever again, after it, to many years of many generations. A fire consumes before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but a desolate wilderness behind, and nothing at all escapes them. It appears that no matter what is happening, mankind right now is rushing toward an end, and everything that they're touching is slowly turning to rot, and they don't know which way to turn. Another sign of the times that we have was that lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And that is also as to what Brother Dennis was mentioning, as to how anger comes and how indifference is occurring. With all of the various murders, the drug shootings, the carjackings, whoever would have heard a mother throwing out her newborn child out of a second-story window because she didn't want to end up having it? That was unheard of. Or better yet, whoever would have believed that a mother has two children, puts them in the back seat of her car, and pushes the car into a lake to let them drown? As to what is going on today, the world is in very sad shape. It is looking for something that they really don't know, and they have no way of determining as to what is going on. We end up having the leaders of the world are trying their hardest to hold together an order. We end up having economic unions or economic confederacies being formed continuously. Western Europe started with the European Economic Council of 10 nations. Since Russia has fallen apart and communism has fallen apart in Eastern Europe, many of the Eastern European members who were formerly of the Warsaw Pact now want to end up joining the ECC. The reason for it, they assume that capitalism ends up being much better, or at least they see that the goods are there. A lot of people don't realize that the goods, they want to have the goods now, they don't want to wait for it. That is breeding much more discontent. In this hemisphere, we end up having NAFTA, which gave us the United States, Mexico, and Canada, and also Chile, but now with Mexico having its economic problems, I don't know how long this is going to go, but we can see how everything is slowly falling apart. The economic fabric of the world is being shredded piece by piece, and it's going to fall apart, and we realize that. In this country, now it's going to be very interesting as to what is going to be happening because of the election since November. We've had a very dramatic shift to the right as to what is going to be happening with the Republicans there. I don't know. I know in California, a lot of the voters with Proposition 187, where they wanted to deny social services to all of the illegal immigrants, is a backlash of people that are just fed up and they don't know where to turn. Then, beside all of this, for the people that are sports-minded, I guess this country had some difficulty because the baseball season was canceled, the second half of it, and hockey season is just starting. But many people are upset of that, but this is just something because people's attention is no longer being able to take their cares and their frustrations away from something else and looking at it, and it's just being wound continuously tight and tight. And we end up having, as it was in the days of Noah, continuing on in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 37th through the 39th verses, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be like just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which was before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be." What were the days of Noah? In Genesis, the sixth chapter, verses 4 through 6, we have a description as to what was in the days of Noah. "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and it's also afterward when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evilly continually." And that appears to be the situation that we are in today. Maybe not totally continually, but it's enough around us that everyone is getting sick. So, some of the other signs of the times that we have is that it was going to end up being a dramatic increase of knowledge. Previously, I gave a symposium in which I showed as to how 168 hours that everyone ends up having in a week and how it's broken down, and also how knowledge used to end up doubling every 5 years, and I think now it's less than a year. Let's take this in perspective. We take a child at six, who's going to start first grade. He will go through 8 grades of school and finishing 4 years of high school. During his 12 years of education that he's just gone through in primary schooling, the amount of knowledge that is inside the world has increased by 4,096 times, probably a lot more. Now, Let's assume that this young adult now starts and decides to finish his a 4-year college education. During that 4-year period, the amount of information, new information that is available, is over 40 times greater than when they started. Whatever was learned, whatever the new information, whatever is learned is becoming obsolete. New information is being processed continuously at a very phenomenal rate. For those people who are employed, time is being required just to keep up with the various information before they become obsolete. This is becoming a requirement of continued employment. Unfortunately, with this continuous explosion of knowledge, there is an innate need, and our Heavenly Father saw that, and he also ended up giving that when with the Ten Commandments, where he said that the seventh day thou shalt do no work, thou shalt hallow it as a rest day. That is a time where the body would end up needing time to reflect, to sort, to meditate, and to see what ends up happening. Many brethren, or actually many people, say if you don't have enough time, get a computer. With the phenomenal information that is coming around, computers are great for sorting data, for processing a lot of information. Unfortunately, with a computer, every piece of software that is on it is completely different. There's very little interchange of pieces between one product and another product, and you have to learn something over again. By the time you learn, or before you even crack the book open, something else is out that is better, that should make the job faster, but you still have to take the time to write the necessary scripts and to get the information there. Once you have the scripts built, even if it ends up being inefficient, it may end up being just as well to live with it to make it work, because at least you have something that's up and running instead of trying to change something continuously. Where is all this leading to? Well, the last part, for the time that is remaining, I would like to look under as to what is happening in the ecclesia and some spiritual applications. We end up having that in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 12. We have, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought ye to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening for the coming day of God, on account of which the heavens will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless." We have an example of our Lord, and one of the last set of examples that he gave unto us, we read in the 13th chapter of John. It's through the first 17 verses. But in essence, it ends up being... We'll start with the third verse. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto him, and that he had come forth from God, was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself about." Jumping down to the 12th verse, we see, "And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he reclined at the table again and said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that ye should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one that senteth him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The thing is, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do these. And we also see, continuing also in John, the 17th chapter, verses 20 through 21, as our Lord was praying to our Heavenly Father, where he asked, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may also be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. The lesson that we end up having is that the early church was a servant class, where they wanted to serve. They were hot and fervent. Whereas now, as we're going down toward the end of the gospel age, it appears that we want to end up being served and not doing the serving, being cool and lukewarm, as in Revelation 3:15 through 16. Now, this serving is not only relegated to the ecclesia officers, the elected ecclesia's officers of the elder and deacon body. All members have an opportunity of participating. After all, we are all members of the body, the one loaf. Our individuality is given up to be like our master. As I was going through this, I came across some interesting statistics of this ecclesia. In 1990, we had 7 elders and 21 deacons. And 5 years later, we have 10 elders and 12 deacons. The interesting thing is that we had an increase of the elder population of 42.8% and the same corresponding decrease in the deacon body. Percentage-wise, that's a very nice variation. However, the deacons have lost 9 positions, and there are duties that are not being able to be filled. This may end up being as to one of the reasons why the ecclesia members are not always able to find very many deacons in the meeting. Because the answer to this is that there aren't any more. We don't have any. As an ecclesia, we should not come up with ideas for having work that somebody else should be doing. If we want to do something, it might be better to see how much time it takes to accomplish this task, because everyone is very short on this precious commodity. And once we find out how long it's done by doing it, then we would be in a very good position to determine as to whether it's really a good idea or not. And the problems that we have of indifference is not just unique to the world. It's creeping in here to our ecclesia. It's worldwide. It appears that it's permeating our meetings. In discussion, there was an interesting situation that happened. There was a child. It wasn't in our ecclesia. It was in a different ecclesia. That was about 2.5 years, maybe 3. Was crying for help, was locked in a bathroom, was crying for help, even though the child was disruptive. There were 6 teenagers and an elder that were having a discussion 10 feet away from this door where the child is crying. I'm sure the discussion was very spiritual, but if someone is crying for help, I think that we should take it upon ourselves to go there and find out what the problem is. If the child is making a nuisance of himself, bring the child to the parent and tell them as to what's going on. Because if this is a real emergency, you want to end up doing something. Another interesting thing that happened at our convention. In the process of setting up, one individual came up and pointed out that the piano lamp that was on the piano was still in the box. It hasn't been set up. Nobody can play any music. Well, that's nice that the individual saw that, but there wasn't anything to stop the individual from taking it out of the box and plugging it up, or at least finding as to where the outlet was, because everyone is running around trying to get everything done, and if anyone sees something that they can do that. We have a text in James. The principle is interesting because the principle applies across everything, which is James 2:15 through 17. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it does not have works, it is dead, being by itself. The principle goes across everything. If you see something that has to be done, you can do it. On the other hand, I can say that there is also a very helping attitude that occurs. Every Sunday we have various members that come in, that set up the chairs, the hymn books, in the dining room, and many of the members are not even consecrated. They are members of our ecclesia, but they are not consecrated, the young people that we have. We should encourage that. The other thing that we end up having also is that I'm very happy that we are able to serve other brethren by having a convention. The sponsoring ecclesia normally does not get very much of a spiritual blessing out of the convention because they're busy serving others. But it's the other members that are coming to the convention that do get the blessing. It is our opportunity of washing their feet, in which case I'm very happy of that. In closing, the text that we had in 2 Peter, again, the 11th verse, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? And we should consider this in a new year, that we would be able to make our brethren's burdens lighter, not add on to them. May the Lord add his blessing to the words that were spoken.
Thank you, Brother John. Brother Dennis, for your thoughts, sharing them with us. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of the Lord.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. We enter into thy hallowed courts at this time, thanking thee for this day that thou hast given us, for the opportunity that we had of being able to set aside the world and its cares, and being able to hear and study a portion of thy word. Father, we ask that the lessons that we learn today we would be able to use in this coming week, that we would be able to be good ambassadors of thy Son. We are mindful of thy promise that if we fail and if we call upon thee, that thou wilt forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, we thank thee for the various freedoms that thou hast granted unto us, being able to assemble in peacefulness and quietness. Father, we ask that thou wilt bless all thy children the world over, especially those who are less fortunate than we are, those who are going through severe trials and difficulties, those who are isolated in beds of sickness. Father, grant unto all of them the peace and quiet which only thou canst give and thou hast promised. All these things we ask and thank thee in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.